Hello, everybody, and welcome. I'm Mo Ray, and this is the Other Side of Talk Radio, but I'm not on the radio, actually. I'm coming to you live stream, and thanks for being with us. If you'd like to join us, our number is 330-595-1600. And I'm just going to start out by, there's a lot, I got really, I'm chock full of clips I want to play for you today, because there's a lot to talk about. Of course, we have the ongoing protest against the back-to-work orders, protest against the stay-at-home orders in some states. And we also have a lot of people who are a little intimidated by the idea of going back to work because they are being asked to go back to work in a lot of states. Some states are more flexible than others. Some are saying if you don't go back to work, you lose your unemployment benefits, which I guess if you've got a job, you should go. But then you look at some of the things we're doing, and it really makes me nervous. I know we've got to keep our meat supply up, but we have situations in some of these meatpacking plants where overwhelming numbers of workers are ill, have tested positive. And I wonder if, well, they're being forced to go back to work in some cases against their will. It's either go back to work or lose your job. And are you happy with that? I mean, sure, I like my ground meat, I like my steak, but shouldn't we be taking more precautions? Because it seems to be, even in these states where this is taking place, the people are, the federal government is pretty much leaving it up to the companies to, they're giving them some guidelines, but they're kind of almost taking the companies at their word. Another thing I'm upset about on a national level, and I know I'm throwing a lot out here, but I see that Mitch McConnell is pushing real hard to try to release businesses from liability. That is, once we get things going again and you're forced back into a workplace, maybe a situation where you are working in a meatpacking plant or you are working with the public in a closed space like a bus or something like that, and you end up getting sick, you will not be allowed to sue your employer. Your employer has forced you back into an unsafe work space, yet you will not be able to sue if Mitch McConnell gets his way. That's out there. But I wanted to talk about something closer to home. I actually, and this is, it was such a mundane thing. I do fool around. This recipe, by the way, this was food again, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, hello, Joe. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
Okay. I just wanted to say, though, I was trying to make this fried chicken recipe, and the guy used a deep fryer. I had one, but not a good one. So I was trying to go buy a good deep fryer. Well, apparently, I don't know if you've heard, it's hard to find flour now because everybody's baking, it appears. They're baking a lot of bread out there. So there's a flour shortage, but there's also apparently a shortage of deep fryers.
No kidding.
I went to 6 different stores yesterday. But speaking of that, I noticed a difference between the Target crowd and the Walmart crowd. And I mean, no disrespect to anybody, but it seems that in the Walmart, I would say maybe 50% of the people had masks on. In the Target, I would say it was 80 or 90% of people had masks on. What is the deal with the mask? I don't understand. There's still a great resistance. And I never thought I'd see a day where a safety precaution would even become political. Now it's become almost cool not to wear a mask for some people on the right because they think this, they don't want the government telling them what to do. But if the government is telling me to do something that might keep me from contracting a deadly illness, I don't see the harm in that. But I did notice that, and I went to 2 Big Lots. I would say there was pretty good compliance on masks there. I went to Home Depot. That was kind of so-so, but I will say they're pretty rigorous about your comings and goings there. You can, you can only exit one way and come in another way, and a lot of stores are doing that. And they were definitely enforcing their social distancing as far as the checkout line, so I give them credit. I went in Lowe's, and that was a little different. I would say that was kind of a half and half. And the weirdest experience, though, besides Walmart, which is always a weird experience to me, was the I went in Gordon Food Service, GFS. Somebody told me they might even have a fryer, but they don't sell deep fryers. But there was a guy, and I was trying to give him his room, and he's a big, lug, of a guy, and he wasn't wearing a mask, and I was trying to give him room to get by, give that social distancing. He said, well, you're not going to get anywhere moving like that. It's like he was intimidated. He wasn't intimidating to me, but it was just like he was looking at me like I was some kind of sissy for trying to practice social distancing. So you've got that macho thing going out there, but there's many a big man that's been brought down by this little virus. And in fact, more men than women are dying from this. So how do you feel about that? In fact, there's a story that I will be mentioning later where you had someone actually killed for merely requesting that someone don their mask. What's going on out there, folks? You had a city in Oklahoma where they had passed an ordinance saying that everybody had to wear a mask. And there was so much pushback from that. In fact, some people were threatening violence against some of the store owners, so they rolled that one back. I believe that was in Stillwater, Oklahoma. What's going on? I just keep saying. And I got a clip that I'll put up later, Joe, because it's just a clip from Twitter where these people are just gathering. As I've been saying, we've got a laboratory right before our eyes. A lot of places have opened up this week. A lot of states have opened up for business. It varies from state to state what's opened. My favorite example continues to be Georgia, where now you can get a tattoo. And, I did think Texas was interesting. They've got dancers and exotic dancers practicing, they're not doing, I'm still trying to figure out how you do a lap dance with social distancing, but one thing, the show will go on, except the dancers, about the only thing they will be wearing is their mask. So, and they got some kind of permit to sell food there, which is, I haven't been to one of those places in years. I'm not just joking about that, but I will say some of the finest places like that are in the state of Texas. And believe it or not, even though you're going there to look at one thing, they actually have some very good food there. So they got permission to sell food. And I don't know, I guess stripping is an essential business in the state of Texas. But I don't know. There's just some bizarre things happening. But we're ready to watch this play out as some restaurants are open for business. I noticed in Georgia where they have opened things up, a lot of people are staying away. I think that's the approach I will take here in Ohio. I think when things are opened up, I'll get out eventually, but I don't think I'll be going straight to a restaurant or bar right away until I know what's going on, because we don't know who's who out there. By the way, Joe, a little personal information. You brought it up before. You got your results from your antibody test. Tell the audience.
Sure. So going into this, I was like 90% sure I had already had it. I went down for the count with some kind of something in February, mm-hmm. and I was almost certain that I already had it, but came up negative. They tested for two of the antibodies, where the one that's circulating right now, and came up negative.
So does that mean, though, because there seems to be some question about, I did hear one guy say conclusively that even if you build up an immunity, it's not forever.
This thing is super wild, and I'm sure that it's only going to be but one season before it's mutated enough so that it can reinfect.
Well done.
That's really what they're getting a scope on, is how quickly it goes through that process to know that if in the fall, even though we've seen it before, if it has enough legs to be able to make a round through us again.
Right. So we shall see. And there are predictions out there. Of course, the president's always trying to put the positive spin on things. He thinks that there will not be a rebound. But I think that some of the behaviors that are being practiced, when I even look around in this area, I just think a lot of people are acting like this whole thing is over. You still see the occasional news story where people are congregating, having house parties or backyard parties and that kind of thing. We're not out of the woods on this yet. Yeah, I don't know if you saw the footage from Huntington Beach. It looked like a rock show. And there's even a guy walking around a beach in Florida dressed as the Grim Reaper. I'm sure he was hot as hell, but he was dressed as the Grim Reaper, just trying to be a reminder for people to spread out if you're going to do that. But like I said, I'll be taking my sweet time. Once again, the number here is 330-595-1600 if you have any thoughts on any of the many topics that I've thrown out. But I'd like to start out by showing you some protest And these are from all across the country. Interesting thing, though, this is from RT, and RT stands for Russian Television, and they're an English language. They're basically the propaganda arm of Putin. But a lot of American journalists have worked for them. I know former CNN anchor Soledad O'Brien worked for them. He just passed away. He was old MSNBC anchor. He moved over there. Larry King even was there for a while. So apparently they pay good money, but I don't know if I'd want to be helping them do their propaganda. But this propaganda simply involves letting Americans speak for themselves. And these are protesters from around the country who are a little bit upset. They want to go back to work.
You can take your face mask and you can shovel where the sun don't shine.
We all have sovereign rights, and we're just here to show and support that. Every time there's a crisis, the government uses that to pump up their authority and try and take away your rights. Just because there's a crisis, you don't lose your rights. Otherwise, you never really had any to begin with.
We have to send a message clearly. This is hysteria. They need to reopen our economy right now. People are going to get sick, and it's unfortunate. And I'm not trying to downplay sickness. It's just that, unfortunately, people die. That's called living. We're not going to make it out alive.
Whether I stay home or I go out, you can still die no matter what you do. So I'm not an adrenaline junkie, but I don't want to be told to stay home. No. I have an immune system, I take my immune support, and that's it. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow no matter what.
I have 3 businesses in Idaho that are closed right now because they're deemed non-essential. I had to lay off all of my staff. I don't know that my business will survive to open in 2 weeks. We're losing our constitutional rights, and we are falling under a dictatorship, and that's not correct.
The numbers are false. You have, a 1% chance of dying. You have a larger percentage of dying of something else, but that's life. You know, we can't continue to live in fear. Every time you get in the car to go to work, you have a chance of dying. Every time you walk outside of your front door, you have a chance of dying. You can't live your life sheltered because you're afraid of something.
Governor Sisolak is responsible for the shutdown of the economy in Nevada, period. We're a tourism-based economy, and he effectively shut it down, putting at least 1 out of 10 Nevadans out of work. It's unacceptable. This isn't communism or socialism or fascism. We are not a totalitarian society. We are a constitutional republic.
And of course,
that is based on a constitution which protects the people from government instead of the government from people. Now I have my money taken away from me because they want to send people $1,200 a person a check.
Everybody's practicing.
I have friends and neighbors,
social distancing.
Businesses. They're dying. They're dying. There's a lot of businesses that will not be able to reopen. Okay? People without jobs, people going on in unemployment, people losing their life savings over this.
I think the government has overstepped. We have rights. We have a personal responsibility for our health. We don't need them to tell us how to do it. I think it's just a shame that we can't make those choices for ourselves.
Old normal? I refuse.
The only way to get America going and Minnesota going again is to allow us to actually go back to work. And the longer we stay out of work, the more suicides you're going to get and the more unhealthy human beings are actually going to be.
And to be clear, I understand, as I was saying earlier, I know people are hurting out there, and I will say on the other side, I think our government has failed us at many levels. I finally at least pre-registered for the pandemic relief angle on the unemployment. I had a part-time job previous to this at a radio station, so I did, but my wages, I was only working one day a week, so my wages were not enough to draw Ohio unemployment, but I should qualify for that $600 pandemic response check. Hey, and I'll take it, because there has been, near the end there, I was actually doing a nighttime show, so I was actually starting to make more money doing radio, and that has suddenly been taken away. I do understand that. But here's where I think the government has failed us regarding this, whether we're talking about the federal government and being prepared as far as pandemic response, as far as PPE, as far as testing. They failed us there. And I think on a state level, none of these states could have anticipated this, I guess, but the unemployment systems from coast to coast are overwhelmed. Think about it, folks. This has been going on for some time. You've got people who have yet to even register for unemployment, much less get their check. And I can't imagine. I've said before, in my own case, I'm a retired auto worker. I have a pension. At least there's something coming in. I can't imagine if I was just a waitress. I don't mean it like that, but someone who's out there working and just trying to cover the bills from check to check, and then suddenly, through no fault of your own, the checks are gone. And you try to do the right thing, but you can't get through the system to get registered. In that way, I think the government has failed us. And it's just, it's very disappointing. And I wonder, I don't blame these people for being frustrated. I still don't understand why you got to bring a AK-47 to protest wanting to go back to work. I'm still trying to figure how that connects. Somebody tried, and I basically in one of my social media postings referred to those people as goons. And this lady said, goons? Just because they have guns? Some of those people have served their country. And I said, hey, guess what? I serve my country. But if I'm going down to contest a traffic ticket, I'm not going to take an AK-47 with me. I'm going to take evidence and a persuasive argument. And that's the American way as far as I'm concerned. I was surprised. Well, in fact, we'll play that. Let's see. In fact, that's coming up next. I was surprised. This is from The View. And of all people, Sean Hannity made a remarkable comment regarding these protests, I thought. That's not the one. I must have put that in the wrong. That one, yes. And this is quite long, but I think it's worth the exchange.
Protest rallies have popped up in places like California and Michigan, and you see a big difference in the way these are being handled. Sonny, tell me what you're seeing.
You know, this bothered me so much over the weekend because I've enjoyed such close relationships with police officers and my family. When I was a prosecutor, I worked with them. And to see protesters waving the American flag, stepping on the American flag, and also, like, spewing and spitting in the faces of police officers without masks on was just incredible to me, because we heard all of this Blue Lives Matter stuff going on from people that were waving flags. We heard all this Blue Lives Matter stuff from people when the Black Lives Matter movement was going on. We heard respect the flag when Colin Kaepernick was silently kneeling in protest for the inequities that we see in our country against African Americans. Yet, where was that sentiment when you have police officers risking their lives to protect our democracy? I was floored. I was hurt. I just couldn't believe it. And when you have Governor Whitmer of Michigan saying that, and there were a lot of people carrying nooses and Confederate flags, I don't understand what that has to do with protesting to get back to work for the coronavirus. I mean, Governor Whitmer said that she saw just the worst of American history and the worst of racism during these protests. So I started thinking, Whoopi and Joy, I mean, so what did they really ever mean Blue Lives Matter? Did they really ever mean that? Or did they really mean Black lives don't matter? Did they really ever mean they don't want that kind of protest? I almost felt like I was having an existential crisis this weekend.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So, Joy, things were...
I don't blame you.
Very weird, and you actually found yourself agreeing with this guy. Take a look.
No one is a bigger defender of the Second Amendment than yours truly. Everyone has the right to protest, protect themselves, and try to get the country open. This, with the militia look here and these long guns, no. Show of force is dangerous. That puts our police at risk. And by the way, your message will never be heard, whoever you people are. No one should be attempting to intimidate officials with a show of force. And God forbid something happens, then they're going to go after all of us law-abiding Second Amendment people.
Right. So, Joy, what do you make of this?
First of all, things are really bad when even Sean Hannity is out there telling these crazy people to stop it. Just stop it. I'd like to just reinforce and say thank you, Sonny, for what you just said, because that was exactly what I was thinking. Colin Kaepernick on his knee is a big threat, but guys coming with AR-15s, that's not a big threat. So now I come from the generation, as do you, Whoopi, where we protested the Vietnam War. People were carrying flowers and love beads. Nobody was carrying a gun, okay? That is not a protest. That is a terrorist act, or the indication of it. I don't say that they're terrorists, but they're certainly intimidators. They're trying to intimidate people with this. And the radio silence on the right, by the way, about this, besides Sean Hannity, I haven't heard anybody else say something like that. Have you?
No. I have not.
The whole thing is very
again,
political.
I don't... It is political, and I don't understand why people are allowed to yell in the face of a policeman who is trying to keep the peace, and there you are, and we don't know what you're carrying, we don't know if you're ill, but does this then make you susceptible to being arrested for assault with a deadly weapon, which is the air coming out of your mouth, since we don't know if you've been tested?
Yeah.
What do you think? Am I going too far?
I don't think you are going too far. I don't think you are going too far. And you know, the other thing that I was thinking, when you see so many of these cases where unarmed black men are killed, are maimed, are harmed, I always get these tweets from people that are saying, if these men just followed police orders, they would have survived. Why can't these protesters brandishing these guns just follow the stay-at-home order? Why can't they do that? No one is saying that to them. Just follow the stay-at-home orders. Follow the rules. Follow the law. No one is saying that to them. They feel that they can just do anything. Just anything. I don't understand it. The hypocrisy. The hypocrisy of it.
And that is all. Like I said, that went on a while, but I thought some good points were made there, and I was surprised by Hannity's position on this. And it's good to see that even a Sean Hannity realizes that this is no way to protest. If you want to go back to work, what does your long gun and getting all ramboed up have to do with it? I don't understand. But something else I wanted to talk about is an ad that's been put out by the Lincoln Project. And in case you don't know, the Lincoln Project is a group of conservative Republicans, people like Bill Kristol, actually George Conway, Kellyanne Conway's husband, was one of the co-founders. And they are conservative Republicans. They are not Trumpists. They want to go back to true Republican values, conservatism, fiscal responsibility, because certainly that's gone out the window with this president. The previous president, of course, to get us out of the Great Recession, he spent a lot of money as well. Our deficit was about $17 trillion when Barack Obama left office, and now we're at $23 trillion with Donald Trump. And not to mention the fact that we're looking at about $3 trillion that's been doled out by Congress to try to stabilize the economy while we undergo this national shutdown because of COVID-19. But I just wonder where all this is going. we can't keep spending money like this. I don't care who the president is. And even though, you know, to go full circle, some of the people funding some of these protesters, or at least ginning it up, are some of the same people who 10 or 11 years ago were out there with the Tea Party complaining about our debt and deficit. Have you heard from the Tea Party lately? We're deeper than we've ever been. Where are they? I'm not a parent, but I wonder, for those of you who are, or a grandparent, what kind of debt are we leaving the children of tomorrow and their children? Because when you start getting into trillions, it's beyond it's mind-boggling. It's beyond comprehension. When you put 12 zeros behind something, that's a whole lot of money. And now we're borrowing money. We're borrowing an additional $3.4 trillion for these programs that are supposed to sustain us through this crisis. One more thing I wanted to address, though. I brought up the Lincoln Project. And the Lincoln Project has a very devastating ad, and it's a play on an ad that was put out by Ronald Reagan during his second term. In case you're not a student of history or you weren't around then, Reagan beat Jimmy Carter because the economy, well, two reasons. The economy was pretty stagnant. Carter inherited a stagnant economy when he beat Gerald Ford, but it continued to stagnate. And furthermore, you had the hostage crisis, where Americans were held in the American embassy in Iran for well over a year. So there was a lot of demoralized Americans out there. And then Ronald Reagan came along, and he was famous for his second term ad. It was called Morning in America. Well, there's a play on that now by the Lincoln Project. They've got an ad called Mourning in America, as in mourning the dead, mourning a loss. And take a look at this.
There's mourning in America. Today, more than 60,000 Americans have died from a deadly virus Donald Trump ignored. With the economy in shambles, more than 26 million Americans are out of work. The worst economy in decades. Trump bailed out Wall Street, but not Main Street. This afternoon, millions of Americans will apply for unemployment. And with their savings run out, many are giving up hope. Millions worry that a loved one won't survive COVID-19. There's mourning in America. And under the leadership of Donald Trump, our country is weaker and sicker and poorer. And now, Americans are asking, if we have another 4 years like this, will there even be an America?
These are actually two ads. There's one more. Hold on.
It's morning again in America. Today, more men and women will go to work than ever before in our country's history.
How would you rate your response to this crisis?
I'd rate it a 10.
I want them to be appreciative of me. We have Monday night football type ratings, like Bachelor Finale.
I have hundreds of millions of people, number one on Facebook.
We really have done this right.
Did you know I was number one on Facebook?
People were amazed.
I just found out I'm number one on Facebook.
Everybody was amazed.
I was never involved in a model.
I've been right a lot.
It's this kind of a model.
And you should say thank you very much. We've done really an extraordinary job.
Two types of Americans have emerged through this pandemic. Those who sacrifice and those who demand. Those who sacrifice, they're the leaders working tirelessly to save American lives. The millions of Americans that have chosen to stay home despite the hardships. The first responders, the nurses, doctors, people who put themselves in harm's way to help others, no matter the cost to themselves. Those who demand, they protest, threaten, scream with words of selfish entitlement. They fight, but only for themselves, for their interests, their desires, putting their wants ahead of what's right, no matter the cost to anyone else. Yes, there are two kinds of Americans. We already know which American Trump is, the same one he's always been. The important question is, which one are you?
So there's a Lincoln Project, and I think I've never seen anything like it, where a group of Republicans band together to speak out against a Republican president. So interesting. And by the way, Democrats, take notes. I think those ads are devastating, and you could learn a lot from what the Republicans are saying about Donald Trump and his handling of the coronavirus crisis. Something else I wanted to talk about related to this, though, and that is a tragic event that took place in Detroit. And I know I'm putting a lot out there. By the way, the number again, 330-595-1600. And I know if things seem a little heavy, it has been kind of a heavy news week, a lot going on. But this was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. Here's a man, father of eight children, a security guard at a Family Dollar store, of all things. This guy had been a security guard at some of the toughest clubs in Detroit, and Detroit is a pretty tough town. So, just see how this played out, and it's very tragic.
This can't be real. My babies need a daddy.
Heartbreak and devastation as Latuna Sims Munnerlin grapples with the fact her husband of 10 years, Kelvin Munnerlin, is no longer here.
I'm just suffocating. I feel like a knife is in my chest.
Munnerlin says Kelvin worked as a security guard at Family Dollar on Fifth Avenue in Flint for just over a year. On Friday, Michigan State Police say a man was shot in the head while on duty at the store, later dying in the hospital. This family says that was Kelvin.
I just want to hear his voice again.
DeMonte Munnerlin is Kelvin's oldest son and says his dad was always a protector, taking his job very seriously.
Every time I call him, look, son, I'm at work. I'll call you back later.
He's always done security. He's done security in nightclubs, in the worst of the worst nightclubs. And nobody still ever just thought to do my baby like that.
The family and close friends say Kelvin was known as a gentle giant, someone you could confide in, an all-around great guy.
He gave you the shirt off his back, the food off his table. He was the life of the party.
As this family is stricken with the loss of their husband, father, and friend.
Oh, God.
They ask the community to carry on Kelvin's legacy.
Remember him as an amazing, outgoing person.
I'm going to try to live for him.
To pray for us, that's all. I just need y'all to pray for it.
Well, I think, and I don't know if that story even touched on it, but the remarkable thing was this guy got what it was. He's working at the Family Dollar. He told the woman that she couldn't enter without a mask, and they had words, but he was just doing his job. She left. She comes back with her husband and her son, and as one does, they blow the man's head off over a face mask. Really? Have we come to this? I mean, it was a simple request, and the woman says she felt disrespected. That's why this happened. And I hope they give them the maximum sentences. This wasn't just in the heat of the moment. She left the store and came back with these guys to do this, leaving this man's family without a father, without a husband, over wearing a face mask. But this kind of ties together what I was talking about with the economic situation. The only way to solve certain problems is by sacrifice. I don't see how we sacrifice our way out of our national debt and out of our deficit when we have Americans who won't even sacrifice by putting on a mask to protect themselves and their fellow citizens, where that's a big deal that you've got to whine about. When you look back at our ancestors, there's a couple of anniversaries. Yesterday was the 25th anniversary of the massacre at Kent State, where four civilians were gunned down by the National Guard protesting the Vietnam War. I brought up to Joe before that I listened to old-time radio. There's a station out of Washington, D.C., the NPR affiliate WAMU, and I listened to they run those old-time radio shows all from 7 till about 11 at night on Sunday, and I listen every week. But in between my favorites, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, and Gunsmoke, and Dragnet, they had the actual recordings from VE Day, that is Victory in Europe Day, where the announcement was made. And one thing that was brought up by the guy who hosted the show is that was the 20 The day of Kent State was the 25th anniversary of VE Day. VE Day was actually pushed off the front page by Kent State. And now, in many ways, the anniversary of the Kent State massacre was pushed off the front pages by COVID-19. How soon we forget. So I guess I don't know, I'm just saying that sometimes it's weird how these things tie together. But one thing that I'll never understand is where we've come to as a country when people are so petty that I just don't understand that last story will stick with me, because it sounds like by all accounts this was a really good person who's just trying to do his job, and so you're going to shoot somebody because they want you to put on a face mask? I don't think this is the country that we were when the greatest generation made all types of sacrifices, whether it be by putting their lives on the line on some foreign battlefield, or by making sacrifices here on the home front, by rationing sugar and flour and having metal drives and rubber drives because we were trying to feed the war machine. Most Americans don't want to be inconvenienced. We're at a period in this country where less than 1% of Americans are in the military. It seems like, you know, it's hard to believe we still got guys in Afghanistan, guys and women in Afghanistan and Iraq, not to mention other far-flung places around the world. But how often do we really think about those people? Most of us go about our business. We have a record low number of former military people in Congress. Maybe that's why some of the decisions they make are easy to make, because they're detached from the horrors of war. I think when we had more veterans in the Congress, maybe they made more measured decisions when it came to getting us into certain foreign entanglements. I just hope we get it together, folks. I think we're at a tipping point in this country, whether it be financially, whether it be as a country, because we can't even agree. We've got, I don't know if you watched, I know I didn't, but the president had a, what he called a virtual town hall where he took questions, and I'm sure they were cherry-picked questions. Actually, a couple of questions were toughies, but the president's answers were a little bit revealing, where what they asked him at one point about unity, and he was just talking about Republicans. It seems that all he's concerned with is his base, his party. The other day, the White House made available test kits for the Senate, who did return. The House chose not to return this week because of the virus. But the Senate chose, well, there actually was a joint statement issued by, and this never happens these days, by Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, and the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, saying they would prefer that those test kits go to first responders and hospital personnel. But here's the kicker. There are 100 people in Congress. They didn't even have enough test kits to cover all 100 people in Congress. Yet you've got the president telling us that we've got the testing situation covered. He continually says we test more people than anybody on the planet. Now we're at about 5 million plus, so we are getting there. But what I'm saying is, please, Mr. President, forget the rosy projections. And then if a reporter challenges you on your numbers, why not take that criticism and go with it? Why not say, I'll have to get back to you on that, the way previous presidents have, instead of attacking the reporter personally and their news organization as well? The numbers don't add up. We are behind in testing. The countries that have done better have had superior testing, and you hear about the so-called data tracking. That, I think, will be a hard sell in this country, where you not only test the person, but then you have to track where have they been, you know, who have they come in contact with, so you can make sure that they haven't exposed somebody. But a lot of people have privacy concerns. I know, I believe it's in Hong Kong, but don't quote me on that. It's either Hong Kong or Singapore, where they've actually, or was it, oh, no, it was South Korea, where they were actually using a cell phone app to test you, I mean, well, to tell where you've been and to tell if you've been any places where infected people were. But of course, in America, I'd even push back a little on that because that's a definite invasion of your privacy. Although I noticed the other day, I've got the app for Firehouse Subs, and I just happened to be in Boardman. And as soon as I got near Firehouse Subs, my app popped on. So they know where we are already. That's just something to think about. But do you want the government following you around, making sure that you're not being exposed or that you're not exposing other people? But maybe, I don't know. We want our freedom. Some of the concerns of those people in the street, I can agree with them. But I also have to agree with Sean Hannity's statement. I think they'd be a lot more effective and a lot more persuasive if they put down the guns, if they weren't so-called ammosexuals, as a friend of mine calls them. I don't think you need all that to make your point. Just make your point. There's one more I wanted to play, though, about the reopening. Are we moving too fast? And this was from a number of people, including Republicans. Is that the one? Maybe that was the one. Oh, wait a minute. We didn't let the president answer about the Lincoln Project. He did have an answer. He's a man of few words, and the word he used the most was loser. But let's see what the president had to say.
Do you want to make any comment about this Lincoln Project ad that aired? You tweeted about it overnight.
I saw a project, a thing called the Lincoln Project, and I would have them change the name to the Losers Project, because if you take a look at Schmidt, it's this George Conway. The guy is... Kellyanne must have done a big number on him, but it's George Conway and it's some other people, Weaver. Every one of them I either defeated or they lost by themselves. But it's a group of major losers. They're Republican losers. And if they would really think about it, I have 252 beautiful, brand new, conservative, wonderful judges, two Supreme Court judges that are great. We produced the greatest economy in history until a month and a half ago when we got hit by the virus and we had to close it down, and we'll do it again. We've rebuilt our military. We've done things that nobody has been able to do. I've gotten the greatest tax cuts in history, in the history of our country, the biggest tax cuts. The Democrats want to raise your taxes. I've gotten regulation cuts, the biggest in the history of our country, no matter how long a president served. With all of that, I guess they don't like me, but let me just tell you.
You think?
These are losers from day one. Guys like Bill Kristol, he's 0-32. George Conway, you take a look at him. Just take a look at that guy. The man's a stone-cold loser. So they should not call it the Lincoln Project. It's not fair to Abraham Lincoln, a great president. They should call it the Losers Project. Okay, thanks.
Okay. You want to make any comments?
And by the way, speaking of that, the other night when the president did his virtual town hall at the Lincoln Memorial, he compared himself to Lincoln. He thinks he's been treated worse than Abraham Lincoln. Gee, I'm sorry. I missed the part where somebody walked into the theater and blew your brains out. Apparently, you're not being treated worse than Abraham Lincoln, Mr. President. And apparently, criticism by the press comes with the job. You know, everybody can't give you a softball interview like a Sean Hannity would. Sometimes tough questions need to be answered. And the same guy who talks about fake news, you know the best way to fight fake news? Why don't you go sit down with somebody besides Fox News and answer the fake news with real answers? Your real answers should embarrass the fake news, unless they're asking tough questions that you have no answer for. Just my thought. 330-595-1600. There's still time for you to get in where you fit in. Of course, it's a little different than the radio. And I just want to thank all of you. I've had some good responses. And I want to thank Joe because it seems like every show gets a little bit better.
Heck yeah.
And
I'm nailing it.
I mean, because this is just zipping by. And any text, any call?
Yeah, there's some comments along with the video stream over on Facebook. Julie Tidd says, good evening, Mo and Joe.
Good evening.
Brian says, dude, you're always upset. You're just an angry man that's all about the D's and R's.
All right. Well, thank you, Brian. And you're right. At this particular time, I absolutely am. And I'm sure there's a lot of R's who are about the D's and R's. I believe that this president has been very divisive. And to say that I'm about the D's and R's, I mean, on other programs, I've attacked Democrats for their behavior. If you want me to throw something out that I had attacked the Democrats on, I thought that their whole thing with Kavanaugh was totally misguided. That was a political misadventure that really gained them nothing but the derision of the public. But no, I don't like this president. I don't think he's a very good person, and I think he's always passing the buck. I think he's almost 4 years in, and he's still trying to blame Obama for stuff. He keeps talking about how the cupboard was empty. And what I would say to you, if you're this great president that you keep telling people you are, I think you would have some of your people fill those cupboards. But they weren't exactly empty. And if you do any fact-checking, you'd see that that is true. As far as him being said that he was left flat-footed as far as any kind of protection from the current virus that's out there, well, how can Barack Obama, who left office in 2017, have predicted a virus that didn't exist while he was there? And by the way, let's remember, Mr. President, your administration was the one that did away with that original pandemic task force that was set up after Ebola. Remember Ebola? Less than a handful of Americans died. In fact, two nurses got sick. One guy he came here sick and he died. And I'm trying to remember if any other American in America died from it, because that president listened to the scientists. That president let the scientists do the talking. He didn't try to be the smartest guy in the room when he wasn't. He didn't make inane suggestions like shoot up with disinfectant. I don't know. So perhaps, but by the way, sir, are you equally upset by a Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or the nighttime lineup, the whole nighttime lineup on Fox News? Aren't those people partisans? Why do some people only get upset when the partisanship goes the other way? As far as being angry, am I pounding the table? I'm definitely very passionate, but I don't think I'm angry. But thank you for your comment.
All right, Debbie Tonatelli says it's a very sad time in our country.
And I completely agree, Debbie. And I'm seeing positive signs, though, and I plan to play a clip today, but we're running out of time. May not get to that one. But there is a clip out now where they've got a focus group on CNN of Republicans, and these are Republicans who have buyer's remorse about President Trump. Oh, my gosh, I've never put those two words together on this show. But anyway, I usually say the president or Trump. But anyway.
Pamela Dorman says, you are the voice of reason, Mo. Great show.
Well, thank you, as opposed to that other guy. But anyway, thank you very much. But no, I just think it's time we start. And for sure, we do need to get together to solve these problems. I don't think if there is a change in November, I don't think that, I don't think Joe Biden's going to have a spectacular presidency. How can he, unless the Senate is flipped, which is within the realm of possibility? There's only like 4 seats, I believe, they need to flip the Senate. You've got a situation. I noticed the president is in Arizona today. I don't know if he'll be doing any campaigning for Martha McSally, but she could probably use it because she's trailing Mark Kelly, the husband of Gabrielle Giffords, the Democrat who is running against her. So there are a couple of Senate seats that are in danger. Susan Collins, by the way, in Maine, she's got her problems. So just imagine, this works either way. This is what I'm always talking about, the long game. Politics is my sports. And when I look at things strategically, even if Trump is reelected, if the Democrats can hold the House, flip the Senate, then he'd be pretty much bootstrapped the same way Barack Obama was his last 6 years of his presidency. So they would be able to keep Trump in check. But let's check on a phone call right now.
All right. You are on with Mo. Caller.
Hello.
Hi, Mo. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
It's Barbara. I'm not going to go on and on here. I just want to say thank you very much for your show. It's really been very powerful today. There's so much pain in the country. I think that's really what we're seeing with all the protests all over the United States. I think people are just in extreme pain. you know, just about the lack of money. I really think that's what it is. And if they knew that, maybe a lot of people can't really even deal with what this virus is. I don't know if you've been reading some of the news items from the medical community about the virus, but in one instance, there was a woman who had symptoms long after she tested negative for the virus, and the symptoms have not gone away, and it's been like a very long time she's been living with these symptoms. And then another, it's just a peculiar virus where the blood, the oxygen level in the blood should make the person be dead. And they're not at all phased, and they're able to maintain consciousness. So there's so much stuff that's going on with this virus that is peculiar to the medical community.
Well, by
they
the
don't
way,
know how to handle it. You can catch it easily, and people are not, I don't think they're in reality about it. I don't think they're grounded in reality. And I think it's such a horror show that people are blocking it out. Psychologically, not willing to deal with it.
I think you're making some good points.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, I thank you. And I do want to say, you know, when she's talking about that, I do believe that maybe that's what some people are trying to wish it away. But I also, when she's talking about some of the stranger effects, I don't know if you heard about this, where some young men who had the virus have actually, while they were on the mend, they did beat it as far as the serious respiratory consequences, but then they ended up having strokes. A number of young men in their 30s and 40s have had strokes as they were recovering from this virus. So there's obviously still a lot to learn. By the way, I can't get, you know, I shouldn't dwell on that one guy who's criticizing me about the D's and R's, but didn't I say our government has failed us? I mean, our whole government. I didn't say just...
Not specific.
Yes. Right. So, I mean, I'm talking about the unemployment systems from coast to coast. I'm saying the government has failed us, okay? But I am not a libertarian. I don't want a giant government, but I want a government that is there to provide for situations like this, for example. I'm perplexed when the president continues to say that if these people need test kits or ventilators or whatever they need, that they should fend for themselves. I don't remember it working that way in the past. I don't remember FDR after Pearl Harbor saying, all right, Hawaii, which wasn't a state then, but it's on you. No. The whole United States, 48 states at that time, said we had been attacked and we needed to return fire. Now, we are under attack by what the president calls the invisible enemy, and we have a president who, rather than taking a centralized leadership role, seems to make it like it's all the governor's fault. It's all the governor's responsibility to fix this problem. No, sir. And I think that's why your ratings are where they are. His numbers are high with Republicans, as usual. But overall, a lot of people are disappointed by the response, and they think it could have been handled better. And they do think that February was a lost month on a lot of levels, when maybe instead of – and it is a valid point to bring up that during the month of February, as this thing started to snowball, the president continued his rallies. He continued his golfing. And just another side note, in the course of doing research or just talking to people on social media – one of my things that I really, besides just thinking that the president is a terrible person, one of those terrible aspects is the way that he condemns somebody for something, then he turns around and does it himself. In 8 years in office, Barack Obama golfed 306 times. Donald Trump has already he's already golfed 156 times. So in just 4 years, he's halfway to Obama's 8-year total. And if he keeps golfing like he golfs, I'm sure if he gets a second term, he will surpass him. So to me, that's hypocrisy. I will take that call.
All right. Let's get that call going. Caller, you are on with Mo.
Hello.
Hi, Mo. Hello. I just want to ask you a question really quick, because I'm getting the arguments with people about herd immunity.
Yes.
And they keep saying, yeah, I want to get out here with this herd immunity. Isn't that supposed to be when there's a vaccine or something? Isn't that herd immunity? And then they have involuntary herd immunity, which would be that everybody get out here and infect each other, and then whoever dies, dies. Whoever doesn't, doesn't.
Well,
and the people who are most likely to die would be those with weak immune systems, people who have those underlying conditions. And they keep calling for herd immunity. Isn't that basically what they would be calling for?
Well, yeah. You know, back in the day, they even had, which I was unaware of, measles parties where they would get the kids together and just get them over it, basically.
Yeah, chickenpox was the same way. They did the same thing. Yeah.
Before they had the vaccine, that's what they did. And there are some out there saying that that's what we should do here. That's what they're doing in Sweden, although they've lost almost 3 million people in Sweden, and I did find out Sweden only has about 6 million people. Maybe, was it 6 or 8 million, but something like that. And they've lost 3,000 people by not doing what we've done here. They didn't shut down the economy. They didn't. They basically had business as usual. And I do think it's a very selfish thing. You know, if it's something you're trying to do, if you're having a measles party or a chicken pox party, that's one thing. But just to say, hey, guess what? I'm doing you a favor by exposing you to this virus. I don't buy into that mentality. And by the way, as I said earlier, we don't really know about the immunity aspect of this. We don't know that just because you've had it before, you can't get it again. So I think it's very short-sighted on the part of those people.
See, yeah, I do too.
Okay.
Okay.
And by the way, I'm going to play a clip here, you know, what I call the Republican death cult. This is the pro-life Republicans, but now you've got a lot of them who seem to be, they're willing to die for the economy. So thank you for your call.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we got time to squeeze this in real quick. And
all right. Which one would you like?
That one right there.
All right, cool.
We're born in the image of God. Are you willing to take a chance on your survival in exchange for keeping the America that all America loves for your children and grandchildren? And if that's the exchange, I'm all in.
I believe that every life is a gift from God that's precious and must be protected.
Of course everybody wants to save every life they can. But the question is, towards what end ultimately? There are going to be deaths, and they're going to be deaths no matter what. We've got to let some of these folks get back to work.
If life matters, and that's a person, then every life matters.
There are certain levels of risk that we all have to take, whether it's walking across the street in New York City or whether it's perhaps being exposed to some germ or virus that might make us sick and could even kill us. Just, that's life.
I'm afraid Gloria is getting a bit dotty in her old age. She essentially is arguing that in order to save humanity, you have to kill off more humans.
Loss of life is unfortunately a part of life.
The unborn, the elderly, the sick, the disabled, these are the most vulnerable in society. The least of these are being led to the silent slaughter, deceived by evil masquerading as compassion.
I would rather have my children stay home and all of us who are over 50 go in and keep this economy going and working. Even if we all get sick, I'd rather die than kill the country.
I'm pro-life like you are. Everyone's got to make their own decision. What is your appetite for any risk? I'm pro-choice.
So I guess I would just ask, are Republicans only pro-life when it comes to babies? Or I guess if you're old or at least middle age, over 50, I guess it's all right if you die for the sake of the economy. Strange days indeed, folks. And yeah, maybe this was a little darker show than usual. I plan to end with something, but we've already burned out. We've burned up our hour. And I want to thank you who called. I want to thank you who watched. And I'll be back on Thursday, and maybe we'll try to be a little more upbeat. But there's a lot to talk about, and I want to talk about it with you. I want to thank you, Joe, for making me sound so
Certainly.
Good, look so good. And I'm Mo Ray saying, well, a little extra thing this time. Just be safe out there. I know you hear that a lot, but You've got to take care of yourself. You wear your face covering. You take care of yourself. These other people that think it's a joke or it'll never happen to them, don't let them ruin your life. Take care of yourself. Take care of your family. I'm Mo Ray saying, as I always do, keep your eyes on the prize.